You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's a football Tuesday, and it's almost kickoff Thursday. Yeah, we're getting you ready for Thursday night's game. The Browns and the Bills. It is coming upon us quickly. Mary Kay Capital, join us in a little bit from Cleveland.com, Cleveland Plain Dealer. Your calls at 216-578-0850, and let's go to them. Let's go to Maslin and say hi to Mark. Hey, Mark.
Hey, I just wanted to comment. I've called before. I said the only thing that we're missing is a quarterback. You still there?
Yep.
Yeah, we're
letting you.
It's your forum, my man.
Right. Yeah. And if you would have said at the beginning of the season, going into the first game, we were missing Brandon Whedon and Trent Richardson, you would figure the season is over. And we lost both those, and we've gone 2-0 because of the quarterback play.
Because of the quarterback play, and because the running back right now is not nearly as important as it was at another point in the history of the National Football League.
And because of the defense.
And the defense is great. The defense, and I said
that's number one, actually, on that list. Go ahead.
From day one. I said this was a playoff-caliber defense, and it is.
Yeah,
the offense has to be competent.
Yes.
If we had Brandon Whedon started in the last two games, we'd be 0-4.
Certainly. Fortunately, we will never know that, it is possible.
The argument's makeable that is true. The argument is also makeable that, and I agree with this, that Brian Hoyer has brought a dimension that this team did not have, not only didn't have with Whedon, but that other teams in this league don't have that he has. It's that thing. It's that position that most teams don't have the answer that Brian Hoyer has provided for the Browns. A spark, competency, efficiency, more. And when I say efficiency, three interceptions in his first game don't speak to that. But the fact that he came back so well and also achieved enough in the first game to overcome those picks says a lot about him. It says a lot about the position.
It certainly says a lot about him. It says a lot about his moxie. And it also says, again, a lot about the impact of a returning Josh Gordon on this offense, which I don't think can be understated. At least it won't be understated by me.
No, no understatement there. Scott in Bombay, Florida with us now. Hey, Scott.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Let me tell you, there's nothing better than listening to you guys and watching the Browns beat the Bengals again on DVR.
Love it.
Just let you know, it looks like we're going to win again.
Oh, good.
17-6, yeah. Bet on it.
Hey, if I was there in Cleveland, I would certainly be a season ticket holder. So my call is about calling out the Cleveland Browns fans, because I remember when that game Seattle and San Francisco was on, how loud it was. The announcers on TV seemed like they were screaming. So let's get out there on the big show, because everybody's eyes are going to be on us. And let's show them just how tough we are on the field and how tough that 12th man is.
Nice.
Thanks a lot. Go Browns.
Yes, a little bark from the dog pound right there. And listen, I agree with you. Get loud. This is national TV. This is a huge 48-hour period for the city of Cleveland and for these fans, because these fans deserve, are hungry for a winner. You're going to get national television exposure back-to-back nights. First, the Tribe Wednesday night, the Browns Thursday night. Let's get loud, Cleveland. I mean, I have a feeling, Notorious, that you're going to see people go to the Tribe game on Wednesday night, go straight to the Muni lot on Wednesday evening, and just start partying until Thursday night kickoff.
You know that's already in
that is,
a lot of agendas.
I guarantee that is on some agendas.
That's like old news, I think, to some people right now. What you just said, I think that's been the plan all along for many of those folks.
As it should be. Represents.
As it should be. And, you know, and I want it to be a crowd that when you're out there, it's not only a supportive crowd, it's a crowd that makes us proud.
Absolutely.
I mean, the spotlight is on Cleveland, and you want everyone to talk about this town and this team in a positive way. So keep that in mind, too. I think that's because I've had the experience, having spent 18 seasons of my 100 or so years of covering the NFL around the Buffalo Bills. There were not always the proudest moments at what was once known as Rich Stadium, then it became Ralph Wilson Stadium, on those primetime games. Lots of embarrassment, okay? So whatever that definition of embarrassment is, you can take a long list, and I can tell you story after story that I don't necessarily want to share, except the one, I guess the stat would be the 400 or so arrests after one of those Monday night games. 400 arrests. let's just pause on that number. You know, for various reasons, mostly intoxication and drunk and disorderly, all the whole works, you know, everything that goes with that. But, you know, if we can have fun, and yes, it's part of the fun, but have fun within the reason of excitement, I think that's a good thing.
If anybody listening is worried about their ability to hold their booze and be able to conduct themselves in a manner befitting of this great city of Cleveland, they can come to the Vic Carucci tailgate where you're having sodas and some hummus.
Some iced tea,
some lemonade. Yeah, so you guys can go to that
juice.
One. Right,
look. Mixed with orange juice, little Arnold Palmer.
A little iced tea and lemonade. Can't go with that. Can't go wrong with that. Yes. All right, let's go to Joe in Aurora now. Joe, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Hey, doing great. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Whoop, whoop.
Nice.
There it is.
Hey, I was just some comments that Brandon Whedon made in, when he said he still considers this his team. What planet is he on? I don't think he ever had command of this team. You know, you got to be the field general and go out there and have command. He's never had a command of this team like Hoyer does.
Okay, that's a fair comparison as far as on field. I don't, though, begrudge him taking the stance or having the position in his mind that, hey, I was the starter before. This is still, you know, the team that I'm the quarterback of. But I stress that he's talking about that, I think, in a way that is really off away from what he's done on the field, because I agree with you. What he does on the field, he's not going to agree with you, but what he has done on the field and what Hoyer has brought to the field are two different levels of command, as we've seen with our eyes. But I'll say this. There's a genuine approach by this coaching staff, especially Rob Chudzinski, that this is a week-to-week deal at quarterback. Until it gets to a point, and I hope that point could be as early as Thursday night, where you just stop calling it week to week and call it what it is. Because he's keeping Hoyer on, I mean, whatever. He's keeping the team on edge. I don't know how much more on edge you keep Hoyer, because
he knows he's playing for it. He knows every time he plays it's an audition.
Exactly.
No question.
I don't think there's anything that I've seen from Brian
not
Hoyer.
Not taking it for granted.
That says, yeah, I'm
in. I'm the man now.
I'm swaggering.
I'm not working anymore.
I've got this thing locked. I got this sealed. He's not. That's just not the way he's going about his business. I don't mind Whedon saying that, but as the caller said, in touch with the reality of the moment or of the situation. The reality of the moment is no one is thinking that it's his job any longer, but as long as the team doesn't officially rule that out, then he's entitled to sort of say that, right? Isn't he? Or do we want him to say, hey, look, it was fun. I had a good time. I'm just kind of sitting back here watching. I mean, that's the alternative to saying what he said.
Have a little pride, and that's what he's got. Pride. He's like, you know what? I believe in my ability still. I am still one play away from being the quarterback, regardless of if they decide to go with Brian Hoyer over me or not. And I got to feel like it still is my team, because in the National Football League, injuries happen. And even if Brian Hoyer continues to play well, there is a possibility, like with any player in the league, that he could get hurt and you could need Brandon Whedon again. So I have no problem with that. And what do you want him to say? I suck now? Brian Hoyer's awesome? I shouldn't even be playing on this team? No, of course not.
That's not going to come out of his mouth, and it shouldn't.
And it shouldn't. And if it is, then he's in the wrong line of business. So I like what he's saying. I like it.
Yeah. And for the record, the caller's point of how Whedon led compared to how Hoyer has been leading them, yes, very different. Very night and
no
day.
No question.
That's part of why this is
happening.
Start number three for the Browns for Hoyer than the opposite, which would have been, you know, probably pushing Whedon into the lineup as fast as they could get him, as healthy as he could be or as ready as he could be. So I don't think you have to have that urgency with Whedon, because you've got something you got to see play out here. All right, we are going to bring with us shortly. She covers the Browns for Cleveland.com for the Plain Dealer. She is Mary Kay Cabot. Check out her great work at Cleveland.com. It is a Football Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.